Good morning. Thankful to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I would appreciate very much your prayers. My prayer, my hope is that the thoughts that the Lord has inspired me with this morning will be a blessing and a net positive in the service this morning. Thinking about the song we just sang. In the third verse, it says, I have a home where bliss eternal crowns the soul. The fourth verse, it says, I have a home where peace and joy do reign supreme, where love shall be my only theme. You know, I think that if I was to take a poll in here, and just about anywhere I went, really, say, what do you want more than anything else? I would probably get answers like that. I want peace. I want joy. I want a blessed life. I want those things. And I believe we do want those things. But how bad do we want them? Let's turn to Colossians, the third chapter. My thought this morning, or rather the Lord's thought, is about our affections. Because the things that we want are going to directly impact what we do. The actions that we take, the direction that we set our life, we have something to do with the things that we have. Well, let's just start at the first verse of the third chapter here. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Then it says to do something. You know, we have affections. What this really means is that we have things that are important to us. Just about everything in my life takes a place on the scale of importance. I like to go fishing. I like to read. I like to listen to music. I like, my wife likes flowers a lot more than I do, but I like them. I like them. I like walking in the woods. And you know, everything that we do in life takes a place somewhere on the scale of importance. You can say, well, it's not a factor. It is a factor. Everything that's in your life is somewhere on your scale. So the question is, where is it? It says to set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And it goes on, for the sake of time, I'm not going to read everything in this chapter, but what I do sometimes is I tell people, this is homework. Read the rest of this chapter when you get home. This is homework because it bears directly on what we're talking about this morning. You want things from above? There's things that we have to do to get them. I don't think that this is just limited to talking about saying, I want to go to heaven. You know, I want to go to heaven, but there are things that are from above that are only from above. And we're not going to get those things unless we put our affections in the place where they ought to be. And then we will get those things. Sometimes we'll get them in a small measure and sometimes in a great measure. And again, it depends on where our affections are. We can have blessings a little bit in life, and we can have blessings 30-fold, we can have them 60-fold, and we can have 100-fold. The scripture says that whatever measure we meet, to us, it's going to be measured again. Sometimes we think about that to mean that however we treat people, that's how we're going to be treated. But you know, that's a law that applies to every aspect of our life. If we want to see things in our life, we need to put out the things that we will be glad to see coming back to us in a greater measure. That's the way that God set it up. So He said to set your affections on things above. That means that I have a choice. I have affections, and I have a choice to what is really the most important to me in my life. And you know, there's a big difference between saying the Lord is the most important thing in my life and actually doing the things that make it evident that the Lord is the most important in our life. You know that we do really what we want to do in life. We really do. We find time for what is the most important. Sometimes, and I remember I used to have problems with taking the time for my worship like I should. And I was busy. I had stuff to do. I had work to go to. I had projects I was working on. After I got married, I got even busier. And then children started to come along. And I would say, you know what? And I would say this, the Lord knows my heart, okay? The Lord knows I really want to serve Him. And I am serving Him. I'm trying to serve Him. But the Lord also, Lord, you know I'm busy here. And Lord, you know I've got this schedule. I've got to get up early. To get up early, that means I've got to get my rest. And if I wear myself down, I'm not. So I'm going to cut. Lord, you know, I really want to study, and I really want to put more time into this. But Lord, I've got this job I've got to be at, and I would make excuses, and I would do things, and one day, the Lord started dealing with me about what I was doing with my time. And I'm listing some literal things here. We have things that we have control of. We have time and we have money. We have different resources that are available to us. And you know, we have responsibilities and we have needs. And the Lord wants us to provide for our families, doesn't He? And the Lord wants us to take care of the need. We are responsible for the needs of our own bodies, the needs of our family. But how much is it really that way? Because the Lord, I tell you what, before we go any farther, let's go ahead and go to Matthew 6. Let's read some scriptures through there. Start maybe at about the 19th verse. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. 24th verse says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat? and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first, or most importantly, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, what struck me when I read these scriptures is, you know, these verses, if God would have had a different idea in mind, these verses could have been written quite a bit differently. Okay? Because it acknowledges in these verses, the Father knows that you've got needs. All right? He knows that you need to be clothed. He knows that you need to be fed. He knows that you need the basic things to be able to survive in life. And so, instead, it could have said, you know, the Father knows that you have need of all these things, and so, go ahead, make sure you're taken care of here. Put that first, because you gotta do that. If you don't do that, then you're gonna die and you won't be able to serve the Lord like that. Okay? So make sure that your basic needs are taken care of, and then after that, come and give what's left to the Lord. Yeah, try to serve the Lord, okay? Serve the Lord while you're, but you gotta make sure your business is taken care of, okay? It could have been written like that. But where do where does our prosperity come from? Do you know that God said one of the dangers when the Israelites come into the land of Canaan is that when you've eaten and you're full, that you're gonna say, my own hand has gotten me all this wealth. And you're gonna forget the Lord God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt, brought you into the land, because it says, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth. You know, every resource on this earth is under God's control. You know that the Lord knows that we have needs, and so instead of saying, go ahead and get your basic necessities taken care of, to the exclusion, perhaps, of doing everything that the Lord wants you to do, yeah, go ahead and try to serve Him. Don't just go into idolatry and forget the Lord, but try to serve Him, have common sense about it. And go ahead and do what you need to do, and then after you've got all your ducks in a row, then you can come and do what the Lord wants you to do. No, it says, you know what? The Lord knows that you have need of these things. You know, He knows every one of our needs. Did you know there's a scripture that says, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus, or something like that. Maybe I didn't get it all right. But the Lord knows what our needs are. And so He says, because the Father knows what our needs are, you don't have to worry. If the Lord calls you to do something, or you know that there's something you need to do, why would you go ahead and take care of your earthly things first to the exclusion of what you know the Lord wants you to do? Because the Father knows what you need. You know, the Father knows what we need this morning, and when we have that knowledge, and we know that the Lord knows what's most important, and that really it's going to be coming from Him anyway. Whether He gives us the strength to go out and work to do it, or whether He helps us to find a good deal on a piece of land, or whether He prospers our business, it's all going to come from God anyway. And so if it's going to come from God anyway, why don't we put our affections on what really matters? You know, we end up in life doing what's most important to us. We went to a wedding yesterday, and I had to stand up in the wedding. It was important that I got here on time. How important was it? Well, it was more important to me than trying to get to church on time this morning. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you're 5 minutes late to church or you're 5 minutes late to some things, sometimes you create priorities in your mind. This is important. This is important too, but it's a little bit more important than this. This is more. Do you know when I go to the airport to fly somewhere, I make sure that I get there in time to where I have been before. I have stood in the airport and watched my plane back out. Not of any fault of my own on that time. It was because the plane that was coming, that my connecting flight was late. And I ran and I couldn't make it in time. But did you know that it wouldn't work for me to go to the airport and say, look, I know I'm late. And I wanted to get here on time. I really did. I really wanted to get here on time. And, but I didn't wake up in time. You see, I didn't wake up in time. You can't blame me because I didn't wake up in time. Or maybe I got caught in traffic. You know, I went to Kenya a couple months ago. And obviously there could have been a way that I could have missed my flight. But I was a lot more careful about making my flight on time than if I would have been flying to Dallas. Because if I'm flying to Dallas, I can take the next flight. And yeah, it might be a pain. Yeah, it might cost me some money. But if I miss my flight to Kenya, it messes a lot of things up. And so when I left, I made sure that I left in time to where if my car broke down on the way to the airport, I could still get to the airport on time. I left hours ahead of time. And then we went, we ate lunch at the airport, and we had a good time. But I was there. I was there. You know, a lot of times we can come up with all kinds of excuses and say, you know what, I want to serve the Lord. I really do. I want to serve Him. And if I was to ask everybody here, or just about really anybody, say, what's the most important thing? Well, Jesus is the most important. Keep God first. Let's keep God first in our life. But the things that we do in life are a silent and not so silent testimony to what's really first and where our affections really are. You know, and I started to say this a while ago, but the Lord started dealing with me because I wasn't taking the time to really dig and get grounded, and I was just kind of clicking along, and I was learning a lot in my work environment, but I wasn't really prospering spiritually. And the excuse I had was that I was so busy trying to provide for my family that something had to slide, and something did. But you know what? When I started thinking about it and adding up, you know, I think sometimes it's good to kind of keep a record of what we do every day. Because while I didn't have time to study and pray like I wanted to, somehow I had time to read the news. Somehow I had time to check my email and my Facebook. Somehow I had time, you name it. You know, the ingredients here are different for everybody this morning. I cannot stand here and say, you know what? If you make it on time for church, if you put this much in the offering, if you do this and if you do that, then that means you love the Lord more than anything else. The Pharisees tried that, didn't they? They sure did. But you know, the reverse is true. If you love the Lord more than anything else, there are things that are going to show it. There are. If I love the Lord more than anything else, I am going to do things that are a testimony to what's most important in my life. I said a moment ago about getting to church on time. I believe it's important. I really do. To get to church on time. I believe that there are things that are important. A lot of times there are things that we don't do that don't happen in our life. I notice that things that in my mind, if I haven't set a high enough priority, I'm late. We went to a birthday party the other day, and I knew before we ever left, I knew several minutes before we ever left, we will not make it to this birthday party on time. And, you know, and you get to a place like that and you say, hey, I'm sorry I'm late. I just couldn't make it. I had things I was trying to take care of and I had, whatever. Maybe I got behind a slow car, whatever. You know, I could have been there on time if it was important enough to me. I really could have. So the truth is there are a lot of things that don't get done in our lives, and the reason they don't get done is because they weren't important to us. What if we approached our business and said, you know what? I want this business to prosper. I want to make money with it. And then we proceeded to say, you know what? I want my business to prosper, but hey, I want to go to the neighborhood barbecue. And so we go there and maybe there's a deal we could have made with another businessman or something and it falls through and we say, you know what? Can't blame me. I had to do this over here. Yes. The barbecue was more important than making the deal. Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't want to be harsh this morning. But I want us to understand that what we do, our affections have something to do, have everything to do with what we do in this life. Oh, I want to get a scripture over in Haggai, the first chapter. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, starting the second verse. Saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house not lie waste? Now I want to give a little bit of history here. Haggai the prophet lived after the time that the Israelites came back from Babylon. So when they came back from Babylon, the house of the Lord lay in waste. There was a lot of things that Nebuchadnezzar and his men, they pillaged the place, they laid it to waste, and so the people were trying to reconstruct their lives. And they, you know what, I gotta build my vineyard again, I gotta build my house again, I gotta do all these things. And Haggai was saying, wait a minute, let's get our priorities right here. Is it time for you to dwell in your sealed houses and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord, consider your ways, or think about what's important, what's really important to you. Ye have sown much and ye bring in little. Ye eat but ye have not enough. Ye drink but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands. You know, I think about a time in my life, and this is a very shameful thing to tell about. But soon after we got married, I was very, very busy. And it was very hard, it seemed like, to make ends meet. And I had to work all the time. Didn't make a whole lot of money. Was trying to get everything set up. I was trying to provide a nice place for my wife to live in. That's understandable, isn't it? And I was trying to get set up. And I had desires. And I said, I want to serve the Lord. And I want to give money to the Lord. And I want to give my time to the Lord. And I would say this. I'd say, oh, how much, I wish I could do more. I wish I could do this and that. And I would set aside money. And, you know, I had all this time, my wife really didn't know what I was doing because I really had control of the finances. And she didn't see all what we were given where or what we weren't. But I would get in a tight spot. I remember one time we had to empty out our change jar to make the house payment. Okay? So we were tight. And when that would happen, and I would take money and I'd set it aside. I'd say, this is for the Lord. This is for the Lord's work. I want to send the, maybe I want to buy some Bibles in Kenya, or I want to help build this or whatever. And I'd take money, I'd set it aside. And then hard times would come along and I wouldn't have enough to make ends meet. I'd say, Lord, you know, I want to serve you, but guess where my hand would go dipping? I'd say, you know what? I'll pay it back. I'll pay it back. You know, I started racking up quite a tab with the Lord's money. And I would say, okay, this weekend, I'm gonna work on something for the Lord. I'm gonna do this project. I'm gonna go help with this church project. I'm gonna go whatever it was. And the weekend would come and I'd think, I didn't make enough this week and then maybe somebody would call me and say, hey, would you help me with this project and I'll pay you good. And I think, man, that's more money. That's 50% more per hour than I've made all week. And you know, look what the Lord did for us here. And I would go and I would do that. And I did this time and time again. You'd ask me, well, if somebody would ask me, you know, what do you want to do? And like, oh, I want to work for the Lord. I want to serve the Lord. I want the Lord to have everything in my life. But then I would say, you know, the Lord knows if man provide not for his own, he's denied the faith and he's worse than an infidel. I knew that scripture real well. And things would just, but here's the problem. It seemed like no matter how hard I worked and how much I tried to make ends meet and get all my ducks in a row and provide, it seemed like we were always scraping the bottom of the barrel. It seemed like we never had any spare time. It's like I was a squirrel in a cage and that's all I was doing was make that thing turn. And I couldn't get anywhere. And somebody preached a message, I don't even remember exactly what the message was, but the Lord started dealing with me one year at Monarch, and I went down to the altar, and a minister came to pray with me, and I said, I don't know what to do. Everything, it's not working. And the minister said, listen to what I had, and this minister already knew me fairly well. He said, you know what? I really think the Lord's blowing on you. I'm looking for the scripture. Malachi 3 and verse 10. We're talking about money some this morning because it's real easy for us to understand, but I want us to understand that this applies to every area in our life. bringing all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. I mentioned a little bit ago that the scripture says, my God shall supply all your needs. We have financial needs. We have other temporal needs. We have emotional needs. We have spiritual needs. There are needs of many different types that we have. And I just want to say this morning that if we try to supply all of our own needs and we do it our way, we won't get all of our needs supplied. There are things that we need that we have no way of supplying for our own selves. But when we give the Lord what's due Him and we set our affections on Him, when we make it, when we say, you know what? This is more important to me than anything else in my life. And because it is, I am going to do whatever it takes to make sure this gets done. You know, when the Lord dealt with me, that day I was down at the altar and I made up my mind that day, I'm going to change. By the help of the Lord, I'm going to change. I'm going to make that. And I can see, you know what? The truth is that giving to the Lord, serving the Lord, just isn't as important. You know, when I got to thinking about it, when we go on trips and things like that, and I analyze, it's not like we were just living bare bones, okay? We would go to places like SeaWorld because I wanted to take the kids places. I wanted to do stuff that was enjoyable with the family. And I'm not saying it's wrong to do something that costs money or takes some of our time. It's good to rest and to do things with our families. It's good to have wholesome enjoyments. But not if it takes the place of the Lord in our lives. You know, the Lord needs to be first. And the Lord, when it says that He has control, He's got a cattle on a thousand hills, and you get some of that when you go and you work. The Lord blesses us. You know, the Lord can blow on all of our efforts. And He was blowing on my efforts. I changed. And I said, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm going to make sure that the Lord gets the first fruits of my life. You know that's what Abel did? Abel brought the first of his flock and of the fat thereof. It said Cain brought of the fruit of the ground. You know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of the widow's mite. I don't know what all the requirements for sacrifices were in the book of Genesis, but what I know is that when you bring the firstling, then that means that you bring something without a guarantee of how the rest of the crop is going to turn out. And if you bring the fat, then that means you've skimmed off the top. You've taken what's off the top. And Cain, he just grabbed some stuff that was in his abundance and he brought it to the Lord. Well, I got to make a sacrifice. Okay, scrape up some grapes here and I'm going to go and give to the Lord. The rich men, they were over there giving all of their money. You know, it's easy to look like we're doing a lot for the Lord if it's, again, I'm talking about money here, but there's a lot of areas where it's easy to give out of our abundance, okay? It's easy to have peace and joy out of abundance. It's easy to be happy out of abundance. You know, the Lord wants to express His power through our lives. You know, there are times where, you know, if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would have caved when they were on their way to the furnace and they could feel the heat beating in their faces and they say, you know what, this is too much. Yeah, I'll serve the Lord. I'll serve Him every day. But for this 5 minutes, I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to bow down to this little thing. Then I'm going to get back and I'm going to serve the Lord. You know, the Lord wants us to serve Him in the tight places. Because how otherwise is the power of God going to be manifest in our life? How are people, you know, Nebuchadnezzar, it changed the entire government of Babylon. when this happened, and there could have been all kinds of excuses that those three Hebrews gave. Well, I've got people in my sphere of influence that are back home, and if we are burned alive here, we're not going to be able to help them anymore. We're in the government, and there won't be a godly influence in government anymore. And they're walking, and the heat was getting hotter. Can't you imagine what kind of pressure was in their mind and what kind of thoughts? It's real easy to say, I want to serve the Lord, so I'm going to serve Him. And then if I get in a tight, I'll tell a little lie here and I'm going to keep on going. Yeah, I know, but where are our affections? You know, if we serve Him when it's easy, we give our time when it's easy, we give our money when it's easy, we have a good attitude when it's easy, how are people going to look on our lives and say there is no other God that can deliver after this sort? That's what Nebuchadnezzar said. It changed everything. And he said, I make a decree that anybody that speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, Ashak, and Abednego is going to be cut in pieces. People look on. You know, when people look on our lives, at first they see what's really most important. I think children see it better than anybody else. I want to say something about small children. Reading, there's about 170,000 words in current use in the English language. The average person knows between 20 and 30,000 words. So there's some people know a lot more words than I do. Some people speak some different words than I do. So they know some words I don't. I know some words that they don't. The average person knows between 20 and 30,000 words. And by the time a child is 2 or 3 years old, they are able to articulate just about anything that they need to say. How is that? Sometimes my children have come to me and said, Daddy, what's that word mean? And I'll tell them. And children, they soak up information like a sponge, but you know how they learn most of their words? Through context. And words are tools, so they can learn by the time they're 3 years old, they'll know the difference between words like good and terrific. Words mean different things. Sometimes two words that are synonyms will have very subtle differences. And it amazes me that children, by the time they're 3, 4, 5 years old, will know the differences between the connotations in a word. It's amazing to me. They learn, how do you think a child learns that many words in so short a time? It's because God gave them the ability to analyze and to remember every situation or different situation and say, you know what? In their mind, Daddy said this word here and he said it over here. And this is the common factor in those two, and then he said it over here too. And so this word means this. That's how they do it. They learn words from context. They know what they mean. And it's amazing to me that they're able to do that. Now, if children are able to know what words mean from context, how do you think they interpret our actions? If I bring a wooden box home and I say, kids, this is the most important thing we've got in this house. Can't mess it up. Maybe I bring a wooden box. Maybe it's got carvings all over it. Maybe it's painted ornately on the top. And I say, this is the most important thing in our house. We can't let anything happen to it. And I want to drink. You know, I could tell them every evening, don't forget. This is the most important thing in our house. And then the next morning they see me standing on it to get a jar of pickles off the pantry shelf. Don't forget, this is the most important thing in our house. Then the next day, they see me taking it outside. What are you doing, Daddy? Well, I'm taking it outside because I need something to stand on. And then they see me come back and say, Daddy, where's the box? Well, it's outside. You better go get it. I forgot about it. Well, Daddy, it's raining. Well, you can't blame me. I forgot. You know what would go on inside their little mind? If it was that important, they wouldn't have taken it outside. And then we start getting cold. Well, Daddy, what are we going to do? Well, we're out of firewood. So we'll burn the box because we got to stay warm. But Daddy, it's the most important thing. Look, I'm cold. You're cold too. I got to protect you. Just be quiet. We're going to burn this thing. Do you understand what I'm trying to say here? If children, I have a burden this morning for the people that are in our sphere of influence. You know, we can say every day, this is the most important thing. This is the most important thing. The Lord is the most important thing. But if children learn what the meaning of words is simply from what we mean when we say them in different situations, what do you think they're going to do in situations if the Lord is not the most important things in our life, the most important thing in their life, they're going to pick that up. Well, Daddy says this, but really, this is where, and we may have, and we may tell ourselves this is the order of importance. This, 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 and this. And we can tell, and we may even believe it. But you know, our children and the people that watch us also have a scale like that. And when they look at us, they can see this is what's most important to them. This is next. This is next. This is next. Go to Scripture in Galatians 5, verse 16. Says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. In the 24th verse it says, and they are that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. You know, we have affections already built into us when we come into the world. And as we get older, those affections start manifesting themselves. You know, there's a scripture that says, love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Now, I like to sleep. But I like to get stuff done more. Okay? The scripture also says if you don't hate your father and your mother and your wife and all these things, if you don't hate those things, you can't be my disciple. Well, I want to tell you something. I don't hate my wife and I don't hate my children. But what it means in these things, in these scriptures, is love less. If you love those things more than anything else, even more than doing God's will in your life, then you've got your affections misplaced. You don't have to hate those things in the term that we think of it today. You don't have to hate sleep. You don't have to hate enjoyable things. You don't have to hate money and the things that it can buy. You don't have to hate all those things. But when we allow our fleshly desires, when we allow those to take a place on the scale that's really higher than the place that the things that are above ought to be, then that's what Jesus was talking about. You've got to love them less than the things or what's important, the things that are important. What's important? What is really important in our lives? I think about one thing I struggled for years with some attitudes about some things. Many different things. That was one of my weaknesses. It is still one of my weaknesses. But it says to crucify those things. And that is, you know, God gives us the ability through His Spirit to do that. And when we have the Holy Spirit in our lives, we can begin to crucify the flesh. And we can crucify and crucify and crucify. And we can live a victorious Christian life. And I was struggling. I remember a time when I was struggling and struggling. And I wanted to serve the Lord. And I wanted peace in my heart. And I wanted joy in my life. And I wanted victory in my soul. But there were things that I was holding on to. And I would try to tell myself, all right, the power of God is greater than this. And it is. But I would have such a struggle. You know, the Lord doesn't want us to have to live our lives that way. I want to ask a question. If the things that we were trying to crucify out of our lives weren't so valuable, what could we do? If I struggle with attitude, you know, sometimes it comes down to saying, but I don't want to let that go. I want this. I want it. Yeah, I know I need to. Yeah, I know it really shouldn't be in there, but I want to hold on to it. And I want to hold on and I want to hold on and I want to keep it there. I think that a lot of times that's our hang up where the affections, our affections are going out to things too much and where we're not placing. You know what? I like to sleep. I do. And if I was, Lord help me to get this out right. If I have a business and I know I need to be there at 7 o'clock in the morning and I lay there at 6 o'clock and I think, oh, this is just terrible. I know I need to be there at 7 o'clock, so I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna be there, but oh, how bad I want to sleep. And we think about how bad we want to sleep, and we think about how good it feels to lay there in the bed, and we think about how warm it is, and how it's 20 degrees outside, and we allow all those thoughts to sway our minds. You know, there's a good chance we might not even be there on time. But if we say, you know what? What did Paul say? There's things that really, they're a factor in my life. I'm of the stock of Abraham. And he listed all these qualifications. But then he said, you know what? If you compare it to winning Christ, it's really not worth anything. And so if I say, yeah, bed feels good. Yeah, I know it's cold outside, but if I can be there on time, I'm going to get a sweet deal. I'm going to cut a deal I've never been able to cut. And so all this stuff doesn't really mean anything to me. Not compared to that. Sometimes I think we don't compare correctly. We say, oh, I want this, I want this, I want this. It says to set your affections on things above. And so instead of saying, you know what? Yeah, I want to serve the Lord, but just don't push this button because you might see me get carnal here. You know, peace and joy are things from above. And when we struggle and we struggle and we struggle, I'd like to say like the prophet Haggai did by the mouth of the Lord, let's consider our ways. What's important? Where are our affections? What are we striving toward? It says Moses, in Hebrews 11, 24th verse. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Moses, I don't know how the line of succession worked. Maybe he couldn't have ever been king, but there were treasures in Egypt. There really were. There was a life of luxury in Egypt. There were riches in Egypt. But when Moses got a hold of what was important, he said, you know what? Yeah, the treasures in Egypt are worth something. And yeah, they're valuable. But when you put this other thing in here, they're really not worth anything at all. And so that's where I'm going to set my affections. David said, my heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I'm not saying that these other things over here are worthless, but they're worthless compared to Christ. So maybe let's let the Lord ask us about our affections this morning. My prayer is that the Lord will help us to get this right in our lives. You know, when our affections are right and they're set towards the Lord, it's going to influence how we live. And it's different for everybody. I can't tell you all this morning, if you do this and this and this and this, then that means you love the Lord. It's something, it's a walk that's different for every single one of us. But it says to set your affections on things above. You know, there are things above that we can only get if they're more important to us than anything else. You pray for me.